Ramchalengir Hashem tells us that everything in life is a challenge for human being. Everything that Kadosh Baruch Hu made here is a test for human being, not in order to see if he's going to do the right thing or not, because Kadosh Baruch Hu already knows if a person is going to do the right thing or not. It is only for a person to take his potential and bring it to reality, to realize his potential. The life is full of challenges. It's full of tests for human being. Being rich or being poor, he tells us that also are considered challenge for a man. The one who is rich, he must realize, his challenge for him is to realize that extra money is not for him, but is to take care of someone who is less fortunate. The one who is poor, he must realize to be happy with his portion, with his chelek. He should not be jealous of someone else. Ba'al Musa, they tell us, if the choice would be given to human being to choose between those two challenges, always would choose to be poor. Because it's almost impossible to be rich and think the extra money is in order to take care of someone who is less fortunate. But however it is, Ramchal tells us, Zeh lumat zeh bar elokim, everything is a balance in it. The new technology in life, that the new technology had brought about all different types of vessels and other things, that also is a challenge for a person. There's a balancing, can be used like Kiddusha, Chas Rishon can be used Letumah. I'd like to introduce someone that his knowledge and his information, his wisdom is really breathtaking about new technology and everything that is associated with that. I remember the last time Rabbi Heber was talking about international deadline. I wasn't sure for a week if today is today or was yesterday or maybe tomorrow. But he had promised me that tonight he's not going to talk about international delight, and he's not going to talk about Shivi Rakia, but he's going to talk about Shivi de Horus. He's going, sounds very spooky now. He's going to tell us something that really we need, the technology, how we can use it, how we can challenge that, and realize our potential in the service of Hashem. Rabbi Weber, please.
Shistar Shiva Shlita, Rav Marwak Shlita, Chashav Rabban and Mariv Rabbeisai. The Gemara in Erevin on the Memdal and Beis has a discussion about a mechitza shel Adam. Could man form a mechitza? Could people form, make a mechitza? Shleishim Yayim, kind of a chag, it's Nagea, building a sukkah with people. Could people form the walls of the sukkah to make an Erev? The Gemara has this discussion. But the Gemara says, Shalai Midas, if the individuals don't realize that they're making a mechitza, then it's a mechitza, it's okay. But if it's ladas, if they realize that they're making a mechitza, then the halacha is it's aser. You can't make such a mechitza. You can't build a sukkah on yontif with such individuals. Why? Because it's avsha milsa. It's daimel opinion. It looks like they're building. Everyone thinks, look, I'm in the construction. I'm building. So it's a bizayin to Shabbos or yontif. So if they know about it, it doesn't work. So the Miri writes, we cannot nowadays use such a mechitza. She'ein anu b'nei hatsneya v'hester. Because we're not b'nei hatsneya. And Hester, we can't keep a secret. V'yavayu lohedia. It will tell exactly what's going on. Yishalu zel zeh kibut zelama. Everyone's going to ask, why am I standing here? In the days of Chazal, if you said to somebody, listen to me, if you ever just stand here for a couple minutes, and you were trying to form a mechitza so that you can carry something. So the person stood there, and you had your mechitza. So after Meiri, 750 years ago, we're not B'nai Hatsneya anymore. I need to know why I'm standing here. You want me to stand here? Why do you want me here? What's going on? I need to know why I have to stand here. 750 years ago, the Meiri told us that minding other people's business, asking questions, why am I doing this? I'm not going to do it unless you tell me. Was already the breakdown in this tznius. Tznius, the correct way is Matovu Alecha Yaakov, Mishkanasecha Yisrael, as Rashi says, Al Shara Pischein She'enen Mechuvanim Zeh Mul Zeh. The doors did not face each other. It doesn't say the windows did not face each other. The Pasuk Pshat is, people say, I didn't look in people's homes. It says the doors did not face each other. I didn't look. Bilam recognized it. Klal Yisrael, I wasn't looking out my door to see where's he going, what's he up to, what's new with him. Because when that happens, that's a breakdown in tznius. But we are influenced by the Umas HaOlam. In the media, the private matters that are discussed, intimate discussions, have become public in the media in different ways. There's a concept of the right to know. I have to know. It's my business. It's the public's business of personal matters of individuals. Freedom of information. We hear this consistently, and this has an impact upon us. But the Meiri calls this a lack of tznius. Of course, under certain conditions, there are certain times, certain people need to know certain things. But the Derech Klal, the concept of knowing Yenim's business, is considered a breakdown in tznius. What would the Meiri have said about a website called Facebook or other social networking where we invite others to view our personal lives? Or I surf and I look around the internet and I find personal matters and intimate matters and information, whether it's through pictures or statements or shtus of ahavolim, nonsense of what this person thought this and he wrote this and the next minute he said that. What would the Meiri have called this in the breakdown of tznius and the lack of tznius? Not to mention how addictive this is, where again, this website, as experts have told me, it's you put all the information you want and you invite people to come and look about you and chavrutzah chavrut yisrael, that my friend's friend is going to find me, somebody on the other side of the globe will be able to read my personal affairs and my business and how exciting it is in the reality to learn about everybody else, about their nonsense, about what they're up to, about what they're doing, about their prosta lives. It's so exciting, it's so interesting. What type of breakdown in Hatznei Aleches, in Tznius, is this? And the dangers of technology could be summed up with the following vart that I heard from my Rebbe, Reb Chaim Dov Keller Shlita, one of the Rashivas of Tel Chicago, where I was zeicha to learn. Yaakov Avinu is fighting with the Malach, and at the end of the fight, Yaakov Avinu says, Hagida Nashmecha, tell me your name. I've given you my name. So Yaakov in Yisrael, it was changed to Yisrael. The Tzara Shalesev says, Lamazet Tishal, why are you asking me this? So, why are you asking me this? What was the response of the Tzara Shalesev? So Rashi, Eilanu Shem Kavua. The Tzara Shalesev, the Yetzer Hara, the embodiment of the Yetzer Hara said, we don't have a set name. Mishtanim Shmaisenu Lefi Mitzvahs Avaydas Hashlichas Sha'anu Mishtalchim. My name changes. My name changes what based on my Shlichas. So what's Pshat Rashi? What's Pshat Nesar Shalaisa? What was the statement that was being made? So my Rebbe was Masber that the Yitzhar was saying, the Sar Shalaisa was saying, you're trying to uptaich me. When you want to win a battle, when you want to win a war, when you want to win a game, you have to get an understanding, get a farshtay of the enemy, of the other team. So you learn them, and you learn their plays, and you learn how they operate, and how they go, if it's a war, whether they go by air or by sea, if it's a ball game, and you want to win the game, you look at the previous games, you get an understanding of, are they a passing game or a running game? Do they hit well or field well? What is their kayak? And once I have a farshtay, I have an understanding of them. I can do battle, I can wage war, and I can win. But by me, my name changes. If you have an understanding of me today, then tomorrow the battle is going to be different. Today it might be communism. How many Halakha Tyrian were lost 100 years ago to communism? They ran by the droves in Russia to this atheist organization, Kfira, and that they ran. And that was the big Sahara of the time. Haskalah, that was the tremendous Yetzer Sahara. And then finally, Baruch Hashem, we got a handle on it. It was recognized that communism is bankrupt. Once we got a handle on that, came the next Nisayan. Secularism, and the next Nisayan. Materialism, which we're in today, and we could go through history and see each battle, each war, each door, each generation, what the battle was. There was a battle years ago for many with television. Many of us grew up with televisions in our homes, but we learned in the yeshivas that we went to that that's not a proper thing to have in a home. So then, okay, many were victorious, not everyone, but many were victorious over the Yetzer Hara. What do I need television for? Not necessary, so gone. The Yetzer Hara came up with a better idea. The Tzara Shalaisa says, you won that battle, but I got a better I got an arsenal full of all sorts of things. It's called the internet, which is worse than TV, because there's much more there. TV general has certain gedarim, at least. There's no gedarim, it's a free-for-all. And there's no deterrent either. No one's watching, no one sees. It's interesting, and I've said this before, that the original name of the internet, when it was founded 40 years ago, almost this month, 40 years ago, was the ARPANET. ARPA has a Russian tavis for a government agency, defense department. But how interesting it was called the ARPANET. ARPA was Boyle. How many Be'iloi Shelsnus after she parted from Naomi? That was what ARPA was about. And therefore, this net was originally called the ARPANET. Could be a Zikara. We should continue calling the ARPANET so we'll remember what it really is all about and contrast it with the Halakha of B'nai Yisrael, with Rus, who took a totally different path than ARPA. Then there was a handle on the internet, a bit of a handle, for some, with certain filters and many discussions, and there was a keenness on that issue as well that we had, and that many communities had, and people speak about different methods and ways and warnings and so on. And Baruch Hashem, many have been makabel these filters and have investigated and worked out a way to ensure that it's safe for those that need to have it for work or for other reasons, that they have to have it. So the Yetzer Hara comes along with other great ideas. Ideas that create such tremendous nisyonos. Blackberries and iPhones and iTouch, where it's difficult to have eitzes how to protect ourselves with these. Because the filters will work for the internet, but they're still trying to... So there is a filter. I spoke to various people about Blackberries, which you could download anything that's on the internet. How do you stop that? How do you protect yourself? They're working on it. They may have an idea. There's Chabura here in town that has been formed to work on some of these ideas. There are Chaburas of individuals who are addicted already to the internet called Guard Your Eyes. And there are all sorts of chaburas to try to fight it, but the Yetzer Hara, as much as we win this battle, there's always that next battle. Lamazat Tishal, don't bother asking my name, because you're going to win the battle today, but I'm going to come up with something more lethal tomorrow. So those who must have these devices must be careful not only for the morality, but the tremendous bittelsman. Used to be, someone told, had a nice joke to tell, right? So you told your friend, now it's got to be emailed to the entire mailing list so that hundreds of people have a bittelsman that they'll read through it or they'll watch for 2 minutes. Now every one-liner, that's it. The ganze Welt has to hear it, has to hear my joke, has to hear my leitzonis, has to see my bittelsman. And it's done just out of habit. What's the big deal? It's geschmack. I have the good laugh. Bloggers who poison our minds with hashkafas, with statements, keneged chazal, with statements, mevazet talmidei chachamim, comments, even on what's called the quote-unquote frum websites, comments, with people who would used to hear epis maybe in the back of the room somewhere, in the dorm room, there'd be a comment someone would make, a piece of leitzonis that his roommate would hear. Today that same leitzonis is commented so that hundreds of people could see the divrei bizayon, which is said and has an impact in particularly on the minds of the young, but also has a subtle impact on the minds of everyone of all ages. It's like as the Gemara in Avodah Zarah, Daf Yud Zayin Amud Beis, tells us that a discussion of going to the Apiska of Avodah Zarah, or the Apiska the Beis Zaynas, standing by the entrance to a house of Avodah Zarah or a house of Zaynas. It's imagine if, and this is really what the internet and these other devices are like, imagine if someone offered you a job to be an accountant for a Las Vegas nightclub. And don't worry, sir, we'll give you your office to the side. You'll have your own office. Don't worry so much. Who would dream of taking such a job? We wouldn't do such a thing. But unfortunately, with the internet and with these devices, basically once they're in your hand, then consider yourself this accountant or the lawyer working in that next room in Las Vegas nightclub, we're just a few steps, Rachmanu Litzlan could present to an individual the biggest minuvolus and the biggest priestess. But this is a huge challenge. The pressure of Parnassah, It's interesting that historically, within Klal Yisrael, in particular in America, the place of work has posed the greatest challenges, albeit different for each door, going with the Yetzirah's mahalach of changing. The previous dairis at their workplace had tremendous nisyonis with Shabbos. We know the stories, the maisalach, from bar babas and zaydas and uncles and aunts, who would be fired every Friday afternoon. They said, we can't come in tomorrow. And they said, okay, don't come back on Monday. But they persevered. These heroes of America had excuses, had many excuses, and many of them took the excuses and would daven in the Hashkama Minyanim and would walk to the next subway stop so that no one would see them going to work on Shabbos. It's difficult to judge such a generation with such difficult nisyonis that they had. But many of them, or some of them, Yechidei Skula, who today are Zeichet through the perseverance at their workplace, they didn't care. They were able to persevere and to be Shomer Shabbos and to be Erev Chayim and did not use the difficult matzav, a tremendously difficult matzav in those days, the depression years, when people couldn't put food on their table, when they had hungry children at home and a convenient excuse to be Mechal Shabbos just to feed my children. It was a convenient excuse, but those Yechidei Skula, the heroes of America, they persevered and their Zeichet to Einikloch, grandchildren and great-grandchildren who are Erlich Hayin because their children did not see the steerus at their home at the Shabbos table, knowing that their father went to work. And this generation, we also have our Nisayan at work, the Nisayan of Pritzis. B'zeyas ha'pecha toich alechem, the Pashup Shad, of course, as it's touched up, is with the sweat of your brow. Zeya is touched the sweat, the Sefer Radak, the Sharoshim of the Radak, says Zeya, he brings one pasuk under the word Zeya, Zava, in last week's parsha, trembling, trepidation. Because perhaps also when the Ribbono Shel gave the klola to the Adam Arisha, besides saying you have to shvitz when you work, you get a shvitz another way before walking into that job. It's with trepidation of what's going to be thrown at me and how am I going to be oymen ben Yisayin. The workplace is what ruined so many individuals in the previous door. How many assimilated yidden are there today who we meet up with, who tell you that my previous dairis were rabbis and were erlich and were sheikhtim and so on, and somewhere that chain was broken, and very often it was because one of the zaydas had to go out and work on Shabbos. The nisyonis were mind-boggling. But again, as we said today, we have other nisyonis. The majority of the hours that we are awake, those who are our workplace, where we're amongst the umas ha'olam, we're surrounded by a different culture. We are nivul peh on a daily basis. We're in the presence of the dress of female employees day in and day out, hour in and hour out. And we hear the discussions, private personal discussions that we would never dream of saying, but day in and day out, these types of nisyonis take its toll upon us. And therefore we see things and we say things that we don't want to do. We're makir how difficult it is. But we have to throw ourselves back to the Friedrich Adairis and look at those heroes and see how they were Ayman bin Isayan. A Yid once sat me down on Friday night after davening and after the Shilas and after everybody had left, and he said, I must speak to you. He said, my older daughter who went to Beis Yaakov, who did well in Beis Yaakov, she's older, she's not married yet, she's looking for a shidduch, she has a chush of a job, a very successful job, she's done well at her job, and I suspect she has relationships, perhaps with co-workers, she's out very late at night, she sometimes doesn't come home at night. And the line he said to me was, because the Christophers and the Patricks at work take more interest in her than the Chayans and the Yankels on the shidduch scene. What an nisayon that this individual had. We're waiting for the basharet, then that's a whole other parsha, which is not for now. But there's no interest. Try get this shidduch, it didn't work. Try get that shidduch. But the men at work, the Gentiles that work, they have an interest in me. They like, I'm doing good work, I'm successful. The nisayon was ayim and naira. Baruch Hashem, she was Ayman ben Isayin and is happily married and has an Erlich home. But we have to look for the previous door for that chizuk and see that the Friedrich door did not throw in the towel. And look at the Paris and project our Paris, what were all our Einikulch look like in 2100. What will the next door look like? And when we don't have the pressure from the workplace, we have that peer pressure, which will also prevalent in Dairis in different ways. My uncle, Zalzayin Gezunt, Rebaruch Greenfield, told me in the Amish Pacha, his father, my great-grandfather, was Taka Oshayim Shabbos. He had a grocery store. It was his father. He told me the Nisayon was unbelievable. He said, but besides all the Nisayon of Shabbos and money and Parnassah and depression, with all that, there was a Nisayon of the peer pressure of people make Chayzik of my father, he told me. They made Chayzik of the family that we were Shomer Shabbos. Certain other relatives and certain friends, there was a peer pressure to what on earth are you doing? This is the Golden of Medina. This is America. You're doing nonsense. This is not Europe anymore. Shabbos is garnished. What is this? And that peer pressure, if they didn't get it if they didn't get the pressure from having to earn a parnasa, the pressure came and came more and more and more from the peer pressure. And unfortunately, in our door, even if you survive the workplace in the world of tznius, but then there's the peer pressure. There's the peer pressure of others, of how others' wives look. They're dressing like this, so my wife has to dress like this. A woman told me that she's embarrassed. She goes to a chasana or to a simcha, and her husband's friend's wives, she can't sit with them. She's embarrassed. She wants to be erlich. That's her friend's, her husband's chevra, whatever it is. It's chevra from yeshiva or wherever it was. It's a busha. She's mavuyish. She can't sit with them. And there's the peer pressure, and some of the Noshim Tidkaniyos are Ayman ben Isayin. They say, I don't care about the peer pressure. But unfortunately, many fall in. Yom Naroim is a time to work on our Elochkeit and terminate the double lives that we live. And you'll excuse me if I discuss double lives of some people may say, it doesn't apply to me, and it's true. But when we say Al Chait, we all say them. Even though sometimes we get to them that we say, this is not applicable to me. But if we're Shomer Shabbos and we're Erlich, but we're dishonest at work, or in our business, or with our friends and with our neighbors, then we're leading a double life. If we're Erlich, but we're addicted to pornography on the internet, Rahman al-Islam, then we are leading a double life. If we're Erlich, but we're asking our wife, he's asking his wife to be alluring so that other men take note. And that's mechubid. Ah, they look, they noticed. So it's more covered for me. And that's a double life. And the Bachar who once asked the Shadchan and Aram Chashev told me, when my friends meet my Kala, I want their mouths to drop. That Bachar is leading a double life. If someone's Erlich, and they come home from a Shalom Zachar, or from a Chasana, Shikr, or Half Shikr, then that's a double life. It creates a stira, as we'll see. The double life is a stira, is a contradiction. If we're Erlich, but we're busy showing off, bragging how great we are, or how great our children are, or how great our Nechasim are, my house, my car, whatever it is, fill in the blank, then that's also a double life. If we're Erlich, but we're Miyached with other women, and spending time that we're not supposed to be in a way that's inappropriate, then that's a double life. And the double life creates stiras for our mishpacha, and it poisons the minds of our children. We ask our daughters to excel in school where they teach sneas. But if we're not dressed properly, if the women of the community, it creates a stira. Last year, Beis Yaakov sent out a letter begging the mothers, please, we're teaching this. Please dress appropriately when you come chutz to school. If you walk in improperly dressed, so it's a stira. What? It's confusion. The children become confused. What's right and what's wrong, and what? How terrible it is when we confuse our children. We see the previous door again. Those children were confused. They even those who wanted to be erlich and tried, But then when they saw the stiras in the home of Chil Shabbos and other areas, then it was a stira. So they said, well, what am I supposed to do when the parent complained? As Rav Moshe Zatzal says many several places, when they complained, it's Shveretz Zayin Yid. The kid said, it's Shveretz Zayin Yid. I don't want any part of it. What do I need it for? It's a stira. Don't tell me today, do this, and then tell me tomorrow that. When we ask our sons to learn and daven, but we don't do it properly ourselves, it's a stira to them. Sometimes we wonder why they get nothing out of Shabbos. And we have to ask ourselves, are we mechabed the Shabbos karoy? The Taisus HaRosh, Shabbosach Megillah, tells us that famous Gemara, we all know it, Vashti, she was killed on Shabbos because Mida Kenega Mida, she was mafsit, made them arum, the Benos Yisrael made them work. So that's it. So Mida Kenega Mida, she had the same Einish, arum, and so on. Dr. Taisus HaRosh, Lav Tavka, Rumais Mamish. Doesn't mean they were Mamish naked. Elamafshitin Eideyam Shaloishais Lekavit Shabbos. She took off their big day Shabbos. She was mavazed these girls and said, okay, it's Shabbos today, dress like a weekday, go to work. Vice the Chais, you see, the Taisus HaRosh is calling a person who's not Tzugapas for Shabbos an Arum. It's as if they're naked. So if we don't come Tzugapas, then we don't treat the Shabbos properly. What do we expect from our children? We want our sons to learn Mishmar late Thursday night. But yet if a Yid goes out and gambles, plays poker, as their Chaburis Thursday night, Rachmana Litzlan, the Mishmar of the Torah HaKadoshah of Thursday night, which was in Dairat Dairis within Klal Yisrael, has been replaced in some places in this community with poker games and gambling and drinking. And the child sees right through this. It's wrong, but from the Bifnei Atzmai, it's wrong, Minei Upei. And again, it's the peer pressure. Come on. It's only a few dollars. It's mutter to gamble in such an oifen, right? We have a whole shear on the top of gambling for $2 or $5 or whatever it is, but that's not the point. It's a mish of leitzim. And it sets the wrong precedent for our children who see right through us. They understand the steerus. They know where we go, they know when we're going, and they know why we're going. And if a Yid is doing something erluch, proper, that they see right through, they understand and they appreciate it and they learn. But yet if we're doing these stiras, these contradictions, then it's a stira, it's a contradiction to them. A middle school Rebbe told me that parents sometimes ask, why isn't my son motivated? And he's tempted to tell the parent, look at yourself. You're not motivated. It's a stira, how you live. It's a stira from what you say to how you live. How your wife lives, how she goes around, how she walks around. And this stira, again, children cannot handle this. And whatever we do, however we start our lives, young, and we continue, whatever our children see in us, they amplify us. The subtleties that we have, the little lack of erlichkeit, if we're a little dishonest, if we say, tell them I'm not home. I'm not home when someone calls. Oh, it's a single lie. It's a subtle lie. It's a sheker. It's a small, it's a klein lie. What's the big hefset here? I'm not stealing money from anybody. That's sometimes what goes through our mind. But that subtlety to the child will become magnified. If you're a little dishonest, then your kids often will become bigger shakranim. If you're mevatel tamini chachamim a little, you mevaza them a little, then your kids may reject the Torah itself, because Tati rejects tamini chachamim. Even if he does it jokingly, the child doesn't necessarily understand that. And if I cut corners on snias a little bit, then that magnifies, and the next door gets it more, and possibly gets it more, and possibly gets it more. A chasakala very often decide their lifestyle. Sometimes they want to be a little bit cool, they want to be a little bit this or a little bit that, and there can be a myriad of reasons why they want that. Maybe some had a bad experience with something here or there, whatever it might be, they may have good excuses while they're maybe a little upset at the system for whatever it is, but then they choose that lifestyle. And then later, very often, and I've seen this, and other Rabbanim can testify this better than me, is that they have harata in that lifestyle because they see the children picked up and were much worse than they ever imagined in the sense of those subtleties, giving up a little this, cutting this corner, and that cool lifestyle of themselves that they chose, and that was, yeah, they went out and they started trying to reshine it very nice, we could be this and we could be that. It magnifies itself, it grows, it amplifies itself. And the next door, and they wake up and they see, what have we done? We made this terrible mistake. Again, there's no guarantees. We need Sa'at Dishmaya from the Ribbono Shel Olam. And there's so many other aspects of child raising. It's not a topic. That's not the topic here. The Nakuda is to say, what does a home of the lack of tzniyas, what does the next step? Where does it go from there? You have to have every gadget. Got to have this right away. I got to get at midnight. I got to be on the computer at 12:01 a.m. so that I'm from the Asar Rishonim to get that new gadget. What message does that tell our children when they come the next day and they say, a week, 2 weeks later, they say, Tati, I want this now. I have to have this now. Where'd they learn that from? They learned that from you sitting at the supper table saying, 12:01 tonight, I'm going to be there. I'm going to be on the internet, or I'm going to be in the store, I'm going to be online, or whatever it is. That's where they learned it from. That's where they got it from. And that's where they're going to run with it. The shirish of all this is, the ikar is, a person has to be honest and straightforward. Toicha kebaroi, his inside and outside have to be the same. What is the shirish of all of this? So I think it could be uptight with a Muradiki Yisoy that I recently saw. I was by a cousin's home. It's a nephew of Aaron Soloveitchik. Your cousin Rabbi Yossel Shurin has written, and this was compiled, a booklet of, he's a nephew of Aaron Soloveitchik, his writings from his drushes, handwritten, photocopies, there's only a few copies of them. And in there, I was reading through, I was looking through for drushes, for yontif, and I sat down, and he says, a meridiki aside, what is the difference between hoilulus and simcha? Rabbi Aaron Soloveitchik said in a drusha some 45, 50 years ago. Both are basar v'yayin. Simcha, we eat basar v'yayin, go to a chasana, yontif. And hoilulus is the same thing. Basar v'yayin. What's the chiluk? So he explained in his handwriting that I saw from his drusha, simcha is a happiness within myself, where I want to be what I am. Hoilulus is a temporary escape from myself. I want to be elsewhere for happiness. If a person shikr, that's hoilulus. That means I'm not happy with myself. I need an escape clause. I need to do something else. I need to try get away from this. Fantasy, when a person fantasizes, that's hoilulus. That's saying I'm unhappy with my home. I'm unhappy with my wife. I'm unhappy with this matzav. I want to escape. I want to go somewhere else. I want to go on the internet. I want to go here. I want to read that. I want to do this. I want to escape to have the pleasure for the hour. I want to go to a party, have a good time, with intermingling in an inappropriate way, socializing in a way that's inappropriate, because I want to escape my matzav, as the Chafetz Chaim and the Mishabura calls that hoilulus, because it's the same basar v'yayin, the same food on the table. It's kosher food, but it's hoilulus because I'm becoming somebody else. I'm transforming myself to be someone else, because I'm not happy with myself. My personal matzav is no good. But simcha is yontif. Simcha is yontif. Yontif, I'm here. I'm happy to be an Erlich Hayid. I'm happy to serve the Ribbono Shel Olam. And now I'm able to increase that simcha, the simcha zachayim and the simcha of the Ribbono Shel Olam, through the basar v'yayin, through the nigunim of yontif, through the proper family gathering of yontif, through the Torah of yontif. This is how I'm oiling myself. I'm the Baal Simcha. I'm happy in a chasana because I'm happy to be here. I'm happy to be part of the family. I'm happy to be a friend of the chasakala, the parents, whoever it might be, because I am here right now. That's simcha. And I think all of these issues, all of these problems, that were the breakdown of tznius, is sometimes because we're not happy with ourselves. We don't work on it. So we just jump to the hoilulus. During the Yom Ne'raim, we have to get hold of ourselves. We have to determine the real us. And if the real us has flaws, As Rabbi Hapfer Shlita said, we all have flaws. We're born with those flaws. We have to deal with them. But we have to stop making excuses. The biggest excuse for the breakdown of tznius amongst men and amongst women are excuses. Everybody has a good reason why they're this, and because they had this, or the mother was too overbearing on them, or they went to a school that was too overbearing on them, which is a whole other truth, whatever it might be. They have great excuses. But again, we have to look and say, I could go my entire life, one excuse, Margen Nachan excuse, and a whole life, by the time you realize it, you're 70, 80 years old, and the whole life have been excuses, excuses, excuses. Is that what we're going to be able to tell the Melech Malchei Amlochim? We have to turn to the time-honored Eitzah, as it says in Avos Reb Nosson Perek Chof, Rabbi Chananya Tzkana Kayanim Oimer Kol Anoysen Divrei Torah Alibay Mevadle Mimenu Hirhurei Znus. A person who learns Torah, who steeps himself, will be mevatel from him thoughts of Znus, Hirhurei Yetzer Hara, Hirhurei Eishes Ish. V'chol She'enoi Noysen Divrei Torah Alibay Noysen La Hirhurei Znus, Hirhurei Yetzer Hara, Hirhurei Eishes Ish. Our minds are a vacuum. If we don't fill it with Torah, we don't fill it with methods and ways of performing mitzvahs and serving the Ribbono Shel Olam, then the vacuum becomes filled with all of these things, and then we look to increase those Yehurei Znus, those Yehurei Yetzahara, those Yehurei Yeshasish, as the Yetzahara throws at us his arsenal of things that is, an expert told me, there's nothing left except Yerushamayim. That's it. That is what's left, because there's more technology and vital technology, and it's better and bigger and harder to fight. And therefore, that's done. Be'li min ha-Torah. Be'ez Hashem, we zaychat in the bracha of the Chafetz Chaim, as Rav Hapfer alluded to earlier, that Erev Tovah, the HaKosav B'damer B'inyan HaTznius, that the Ribbono Shel Olam leaves when there's a breakdown of Tznius, and when Tznus comes. She'isalei chalila ha-kechosai. But the opposite is also true. When there's an increase in tznius, in particular when such a Rav Am Hadras Melech comes together to address these issues in a careful manner, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu stays in our machne. Yitzchak Fran once said, I heard many years ago, when the Ribbono Shel Olam is in our machne, that means we're protected, because the Ribbono Shel Olam doesn't let missiles into our community, doesn't let crime, when he's here, into our community, doesn't let disease into a person, because the Eibishter is here, and the Eibishter is not interested in these tzaras. And therefore, Bez Hashem, in the zchus of us coming together, Taka, in the zchus in our hachana, to the Yemei HaDin, Bez Hashem, the Ribbono Shel Olam should look down on us and protect us by remaining in our kehila, and remaining amongst in all the Yiddish kehilas in Gans Kal Yisrael, so that we're all zaycha, Bez Hashem, to haksiv haksiv ha-toyva. Thank you very much.
I just take one more minute of your time. I'd just like you to just consider this scenario that United Kingdom had made a state dinner for U.S. Ambassador, the new U.S. Ambassador that's going to the United Kingdom. And he enters to the state dinner with his chauffeur. And chauffeur start pushing to go get a drink. That's not the end of the world, because you don't expect more from a chauffeur. How about the ambassador himself? He start pushing. Right, and he goes ahead, right, wants to take a drink, or want to take some food. That we call it a scandal. Next day, will be front page of every newspaper. Why, when the ambassador does it, it's a scandal. When a chauffeur does, it's not considered a scandal. Because when ambassador does, it is not only about him. It's about who does he represent. He represents the United States. What does it say about the United States? That Nebuch, this is the best person that they could have find to send to the United Kingdom. So what does it say about the United States? If that's the best that he could find to represent them. Rabbi Tag, we are representatives of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We are the one that we claim that we carry the banners of the Torah. We are. We put kippah and we say we are ambassador of God. We are light to the nations. Slightest things that we do, it is considered scandal. Right? It's not like a chauffeur. It's not like that one that Nebuch doesn't realize, that doesn't know better. If we carry the Torah, if we carry the banner of Torah, and we claim we are carrying the banner of Torah, we are the ambassador of God. If a person goes to a chasma, and a person pushes, because he wants to get the first, I don't know, the shmortu or somehow, right, if the piece of meat, pushes three people around, go in front of the line, take a drink. No, you had seen in the chasma, the person goes, and I'm embarrassed. Right? Anyone with self-dignity should be embarrassed. How in the world, right? Someone who's supposed to be ambassador of God act like a glutton. If I may suggest tonight, we be shoes of Rosh Hashiva a little, after Bez Hashem, after Mariv right now. Now there is a large community here, and there is a lot of cars, and they need to leave. One should act like the ambassador of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, should not cause a Chilul Hashem Chas V'Shalom, right? One should give right away to someone else. Let's listen to the Chavarim, thank Chavarim that they are here to help us in the traffic, and Chas V'Shalom should not be an accident, right? We should be really Israel Asher B'Chayit Par, a Jew that God should be very proud of us. And if it just happens that you cannot see while you're driving, because your glasses by me, someone has found your glasses. So we leave it here. And thank you very much for coming.